Okay, good morning. Welcome to number two of the podcast, Something to Believe In. We're coming at you from the beautiful Snowbird Resort with my lovely co-host, Allie. And we want to thank you all for joining us this morning. It's a funny thing this morning, Allie. We had some technical difficulties.
As you all saw.
Yeah, you got privy to the back room of what we didn't want you to see. But you know what? Part of life, isn't it, Allie?
You roll with it.
You just got to go with it and accept it for what it is and make the best out of it, right?
For sure. We've still got our dance party on. You just didn't get to hear the music. So, and you missed Steve dancing, which really we're going to make sure you catch next time.
And it's quite embarrassing. So we got a lot of stuff for you this morning. First of all, I want to say happy Mother's Day on Mother's Day weekend. And more importantly, if there's an influential woman in your life, this is the weekend. This is the time to reach out to that lady, a special person that's made an influence in your life, and give them a hug and tell them how much you appreciate it.
Absolutely. There's never a time that doesn't mean something amazing to
yes,
that special lady. So.
That's right. So for those of you that joined us last week or maybe had the opportunity to listen, non-camera or non-live, we had a personal challenge for everybody. And that challenge was the plunge that Allie was very passionate about.
Absolutely.
And it was about personal growth and learning more about ourselves. Allie, do you want to share the experience?
You bet. I know that we did not advertise very well going into the first one. And
we're learning.
And we are learning, and the recording is out. But we talked about the importance of being comfortable, getting uncomfortable. And the reason that we want to get uncomfortable is so that we can grow. And we shared some experiences that I've been through. We'll probably go into those, you know, in more depth over future podcasts. But personal growth is a huge part of getting uncomfortable. Learning more about yourself is another reason why it's really important to get uncomfortable. And then the other aspect to that is deep connections with other people. Now, we had a really cool experience at the Plunge studio that we rented out for Intercap. And I will tell you that everyone that came there, I was so impressed. Their attitudes were great. It is not comfortable in any way, but everyone that left there, I guarantee you, not only did they feel like they just seriously knocked the ball out of the park, they felt personally empowered, but they also felt more connected to one another. I did not have a talking relationship with a lot of people that were there, and I just love them to death, and I'm so proud of their willingness to just face fear in the face.
The question everybody wants to know, Allie, including myself, is, was there any cases of hypothermia in the process?
Three?
No. Oh, okay.
No.
So everybody survived.
Everyone survived. And actually, the feedback was so good. Kimber called me and she's like, I did not get a chance to go. And we set it up for Kimber, Cody, and Steve to come back. And for some reason, we were missing somebody. I know. Something happened. Something came up. But we are getting Steve in that cold water.
You know what? I will get in that cold water before our next episode, Allie. I promise.
We're holding him to it.
I promise.
Well, we're just going to show a little preview of what took place and what you missed out on. And if there's enough positive feedback of people wanting to do it, we'll set up another day.
Well, as you get to see, there are more technical difficulties. However, we will be sending that out to everybody because it's a really cool video.
With volume.
If you watched it without volume, which we all did, I saw some pretty interesting faces there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a lot of like deep inner thought there in that cold plunge.
A lot of shivering and a lot of focus. And the one thing I really love about the cold plunge is there's never a time where you get so used to it that you get in and you're just like, oh, this is amazing. It is amazing, but I always say the word empowering because it requires you a place that you don't go to every day. You have to narrow in that focus. You have to breathe. And again, those girls and guys that participated, rock stars. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, we asked for your feedback, and I was talking about this with Allie before. I want to thank you, all of you that personally reached out to us on podcast@intercaplending.com to give us some feedback and give us some material. We want to hear your stories. We want you to share with us. We want you to be vulnerable, and we want you to we want to talk about it because I think our effort is to make everybody better and to connect.
Absolutely.
And one of the first ones that actually replied and wanted to tell a little bit about their story was Nico. And Nico's story is pretty good. Allie and I had the chance to hear. I've been experienced this process with Nico quite some time now, but it's actually quite compelling. And since he's already up here at Snowbird, we've asked him to join us and to share with you. So welcome, Nico.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to share my story.
What do you want to tell us today?
You know, recently, as in speaking with both of you, I've been compelled to talk about my story a little bit more because of some things that have been going on in my personal life. And really what sort of brought on the need for me to feel the need to share my story is about 2 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. And in 2015, my dad actually passed away from cancer. And after my dad passed away, you know, him leaving was really impactful on me for a number of reasons, obviously. But what I realized is just how important sort of that journey for him and with his sickness was to me in my life and what that means for me as I continue to work in my life and really creating a little bit deeper meaning, you know, my why I do what I do. And so, you know, I just kind of wanted to share his story and you know, remind everyone again why, you know, why I do what I do. Because I think if you can tie that to something deeper, it helps go a long way, especially on those hard days.
And when this all came about and you discovered your why, when did that come into effect and when did that impact you in your life?
It really wasn't until after my dad had passed and I had started to kind of think about his life and you know, sort of his, the process that he went through, before it all kind of came into very clear picture for me. So just kind of share, you know, that story and yeah, you know, sort of what had happened. So, you know, I think of my dad in a lot of ways, just like Steve, super outgoing, very charismatic. He was a salesman through and through. I feel like that's where I learned, you know, my ability to sell and my ability to connect with people was from my dad. My dad had the ability to walk into a room and light it up and make friends with just about anybody. Early on in about 2010, he was diagnosed with an advanced form of Alzheimer's is basically the best way to think of it. It's called Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. And he had started having some short-term memory loss. My dad was an alcoholic. He struggled with it his entire life. That was the reason my parents divorced. I'm an only child. So my parents divorced when I was young. My dad always kind of struggled to find, you know, home, so to speak. You know, after my parents got divorced, he moved around from place to place. You know, he worked for a company, had a great career. He was a great salesman. But he always kind of struggled to find that home. As his condition progressed, his memory got worse and worse. He went from being able to, you know, work to not being able to work in the sales position he was in. He moved. He ended up having to take, you know, sort of an office warehouse type job, stocking, because that was the limited, you know, amount of his capabilities. And at a certain point, he could no longer live by himself. And so we had to find a memory care facility where he could go and he could spend time, and he was still able to work, but someone that could actually watch over him and just make sure he was, you know, doing what he needed to do and that he was going where he needed to go. And one of the things that he always talked about, despite how good or bad his memory was always, you know, how much he wanted to go home, despite where he was. You know, so when we had first moved him into the first memory care facility, you know, he was like, "Hey, today was a great day. I did this, I did this, I did this. I'm ready to go home." And, you know, it was me having to come back and say, "Dad, you know, I'm glad you had a great day and I'm proud of you for doing what you did. But, you know, this is where you live now. And you know, these are the people that you live with now. Let's get you back over to your room and get you settled in for the night." He's like, "Okay, yeah, I remember." Well, you know, his condition worsened and he got more sick and he needed more assistance. And so we moved him into a more full-time memory care facility. And he was no longer able to work. His speech was getting worse and worse. At a certain point, he stopped remembering who I was. You know, I would go and visit him and yeah, he didn't remember me. He didn't remember my mom. Wow. And, you know, with all of that, we'd go and visit and we'd go for walks. And, you know, by the end of the walk, he'd say, okay, you know, let's go home. You know, I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go home. And it was that same conversation, you know, Dad, I'm sorry. You know, unfortunately, this is your home and this is where you live. And, you know, what was always really interesting is even though his short-term memory was basically gone, his long-term memory existed. And he could tell us stories clear as day about, you know, that old flat top house in Cottonwood Heights. He loved it. You know, and he would remember when I was a little kid and would go out and play and how much work he put into that house. He used to throw pottery and he had a potting wheel in the basement with a kiln and everything. And he'd always talk about how meaningful that was to him. Well, you know, of course, the disease, you know, took full effect and he got really sick and we had to move him to a full-time care. And we basically knew that, you know, his time was coming to an end. And by that time, you know, he didn't recognize me. He didn't recognize his family. And, you know, he could barely speak. He wasn't eating. He was, again, about Steve's size, in good health. And one of the last visits when we went to go see him, he weighed about 90 pounds and he was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And the one thing he did is he grabbed my hand and he said, go home. And to me, that was so impactful because, you know, that was his place of serenity. That's where he felt, you know, most comfortable. And it wasn't until after his passing that I actually realized, you know, gosh, you know, what we do every single day is so important. When I have a hard day at work and I've got a client that's difficult or a realtor that's given me a hard time, the end goal is so much bigger than just the commission or the conversation or whatever. It's we are getting people into their homes, giving them serenity, giving them a place that they're comfortable and a place that they'll remember forever.
So it's interesting to me and hearing this story that your dad was very, he couldn't remember, but he could remember home.
He could remember home.
And how impactful a home really is to people that sometimes, honestly, we take for granted.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And the connection you had with your dad was so powerful, which we're talking about those connections today and the power of connection.
Or forgiveness.
It gave you a why. It gave you a motivation, whether in work or family or whatever.
Right.
His life gave you purpose.
That's right.
And that's super powerful.
And it could have been opposite, right?
Yeah.
You could have been angry. You could have been resentful, but you chose to be supportive and to forgive and love.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, again, going through what we're going through with my mom, you know, I'm sort of seeing this all play out again. And, you know, her yard is becoming a little bit too much for her to handle. And so we've been over there a lot trying to help her. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, we found this great Rambler in a gated community with an HOA. And I said, hey, you know, let me help you buy this and let's move you into this. And she wouldn't have anything to do with it. You know, she was like, nope, this is my home. This is where I'm comfortable. I've got my dogs. I've got my yard. And so really, I put it all back into perspective for me. And you know, that's why I felt the need to kind of share my story.
So being an only child, I mean, you've went through a lot of diversity, a lot of stuff in a short window.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's been painful. I know it has because you've shared it with me a lot.
Yeah.
And
on your shoulders.
There's a lot on your shoulders. I want you to share why you felt so compelled to let others know about your situation.
Yeah, I think it's important to know that, you know, oftentimes we just judge a book by its cover. You know, it's easy to see somebody and they've got a mean look on their face, or you know, you can tell that they're just not quite themselves. And to say, well, you know, don't get in Nico's way today. He's mad or he's got something going on. I don't want to bug him. And oftentimes that's not the case. You know, there's a lot going on in my mind, or like you said, there's a lot on my shoulders. And it's important to know that everybody else has a story too. And everybody else has something else going on. And you never know exactly what somebody else is going through. And, you know, I know for myself and for my team, I've tried to be really open about, you know, what's been going on in my life. And that's sort of changed the tone in our office, but also in my conversations with my friends as well, because I try to share this with my friends as well. And I often find that if they see that I'm struggling or if I'm having a hard day, first they ask me about, you know, my mom and what's going on and then what they can do to help. And then we get to business or friendship or whatever the question is. And I found that my connections have become way deeper. And really that it's, you know, even though I feel like there's a lot on my shoulders, there's a lot of people that want to help me too.
I think the learning moment for me, and following you through this process, and I'm sure you can echo this, is, yeah, and you kind of hit the nail on the head, is we never really know what's going on behind closed doors in people's lives.
Sure.
So somebody comes in and they look like it's a normal day, or they're having a normal time and they're behaving normal, which internally, I think we all have things that we fight, right? And for you, and I applaud you for this, of coming forward and being vulnerable and saying, here's who I am, here's how I feel, take me, love me for who I am, and this is what you get.
Yeah.
Personally, I respect you for that.
Thank you.
So absolutely. What are your comments on that, Allie?
Well, I also think that so many times we have to put on the happy face and the positive hat, and especially in roles where people, all of you are leaders in some way. You have teams that you manage, that you work with. And being happy at all times is really hard. And Nico brought up a really valuable point, which I think he even told us is his weakness in his mind, but it's proven to be a strength. And that is, we're really good at helping people. We're really good at reaching out to people, but we're not always as good at asking for help and being vulnerable enough to share our story and say why we need help. I mean, I pretty much, you know, will say, I can do it. I got it. But in the end, you know, being there for each other and the connections that can come by letting someone serve you is so important.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of humility. That is not easy.
We were talking a little bit before we got on with everybody about how come it's so easy to engage in conversation with somebody, and then you can walk away in 30 minutes, someone will ask you, well, who was that you were talking to? And you don't even remember their name. Yeah.
We did a little, first of all, thank you for sharing such a personal story.
And I'll bet Mother's Day means probably more to you than anybody.
Yeah, sure. This year. Yeah, it's important. Yeah. And planning to spend the day on Sunday with the two women in my life that are most important, my wife and my mom. And yeah.
I love that.
That's awesome. There you go.
Last time we were on here, I just brought up that I had been taught about the power of moments and how so many times in our life we're like, you know what? I have three more years with my kid, then they graduate. And you look at it and you're like, I actually have three summers, or, you know, my dad has five years left. I only see him twice a year. So that's 10 visits, not 5 years. And just to really be intentional with the time that we spend with the people that we care about, because we don't know, you know, and so thank you for sharing. And
you never also, know. Yeah. Time is ticking.
It is. And it's valuable and precious, you know, and you've learned that not once, but now twice. But the beauty is you're taking advantage of that knowledge, you know, and that opportunity.
I just have one other question. What is your biggest, I mean, I can't imagine what you've gone through, especially being an only child. What is your biggest takeaway from all? Where do you find your strength? What's your purpose? I mean, what fills your bucket through all this adversity that you can, because I see you and you're always happy. You're always kind. You're always giving. You're a good person. And honestly, you have every right to be mad. Why not?
If you ask any person on my team what sort of my motto is work hard and be nice to people. Like above all else, through everything, just work hard and be nice to people. And I think, you know, what keeps me going is just seeing, again, you know, what my dad went through, sort of where, you know, where his life ended up, and me wanting to move on beyond that and be able to provide, you know, for my family and in a way that, you know, he sort of wasn't able to. And, you know, I'm motivated every day to go out and help people. And honestly, I think when you're not chasing the dollars and you're not chasing, you know, the thing that's right in front of you, but you've got a long-term vision, for me, that's all the motivation I need.
That's excellent. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
That was fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
I think when you go through something really hard, the beauty of it is it gives you a true empathy for other people, and it allows you to connect on a deeper level. And you don't wish for those things, but once you go through them, you just see people different. You just look out of a different lens.
It's amazing when adversity hits you, and it hits all of us at some point. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
How we react to that and how we can make a difference in other people's lives, even though we're suffering, right?
Absolutely.
And his vulnerability of sharing and putting it out there, I commend him for that.
It's hard.
It's really hard, but I think it's really healthy. And it's a lesson for all of us to know that it could be a best friend, it could be a family member, it could be a stranger. People are suffering at some point. And if we can do our job and ask the right questions and be sincere and not forget their name 30 minutes after we talk to them, because we're so absorbed about what we're going to ask next or who's the next person we're going to talk to or what, and just take a moment to be present with that person. And walk away and say, you know what? That was Allie I talked to 30 minutes ago. She's amazing.
Well, that brings up what I went to last night. I went and worked with these kids last night. And we did this activity and we're trying to teach the power of being uncomfortable, because they are so good at going out. And it was for athletes and going out on the court and doing their skill or whatever. But you have to go up and talk to a stranger. Oh my gosh, you would have thought that we asked them to climb a mountain. I mean, it was just like their eyes got big and we had to find someone in the room to talk to. But the point of the conversation was exactly what you just brought up about being present. Try to listen without the intent to reply. And like you said, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone and I'm like, what was their name? The whole time I'm thinking, what am I going to say back to them?
Yeah.
And so you watch these kids. And in fact, I was talking to a little boy named Trevor, and I actually had to ask him his name twice because I, again, was even to a child. I was like, I wasn't present. And the power of being present. And we keep going back to the importance of connecting. We all have this need to connect. And in a matter of 2 minutes, you can create a very deep relationship if it's intentional. And if you communicate with people with the intent to listen.
Right.
And then also the willingness to share.
Yes.
And I think we get really hesitant to share, which is how those connections, you know, truly take place.
I think part of that too is we've become so complacent on technology for our communication that this is brings up a different, bigger topic, and we don't have time for today. But I think we've forgotten a little bit. I know I certainly have, how to really connect with people, because we've relied on email or text message.
Texting for sure.
Or social media. And I think that's been hard.
I agree. And you know, the other aspect of connecting that's really interesting, I had someone that I worked with a while ago, and she came up to me one day and she just said, everyone here always calls me by the wrong name. They never call me by my name. And I'm like, okay, let's just think about this. How many times have you come into work and made an effort to go and talk to somebody, to ask how they're doing, to introduce yourself? Not even one time. And so your perception is they don't know you or they don't like you, but you've never made an effort to even get to know them or show that you care.
Other people's perception are like, well, they're standoffish or they're arrogant or they don't want to know me. But somebody's got to make that first step,
and,
right?
And in connecting, absolutely. Like, what you get back has so much to do with what we're putting out. So if we are struggling and we need help, we need to be vulnerable and share.
Yeah.
If we want more connections and we want more friendships, we have to be willing to go and ask somebody with the intent to listen how their day is and what's going on in their life and get to know them.
It's amazing when you do that, truly do that, and jump in and try to get to know somebody and become involved in their life for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Or you do something good from a charity. Good things just naturally happen to you. Number one, you feel good.
Yeah.
And number two, good things typically will happen for you.
For sure.
Isn't that odd?
It's odd. And it's true. And you know, I think that you can sit next to someone in a cubicle for years and then decide all of a sudden that you're going to go on a hike with them. And this happens at the old mill office. They go on these hikes together, you know, whether it's your friends or people you work with. They're not close because they work together. They're close because they went and created an experience.
But don't you think sometimes if you've been sitting with that person for a year and really had no interaction, what goes through your head is, well, it's too late.
Or I can't ask this question. I should know it by now.
Yeah, you know? Right? it's never too late.
Yeah.
And it's never too late to ask a question. It's never too late to get to know somebody. But that's part of being vulnerable.
It's never too late to care. It's never too late to love. And it's never too late to be genuine.
Yeah.
And so I think that just goes into, you know, our challenge twofold going into this month.
Yeah.
The first one you brought up at the beginning.
Yes. And, yeah, I'm really passionate. I'm excited about this because I've already been thinking. I know exactly who I'm going to write my letter to.
So why don't you ask them?
Yes. So your challenge this week or this month, sorry, excuse me, is to write a letter, not an email, not a text message. Write a letter, put a stamp on it, and mail it to an influential woman in your life.
That's awesome. Steve talked about how important those letters were when he was in the military.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you don't have to be in the military to be lonely, and you don't have to be in the military to love mail. Who doesn't like a nice letter from somebody?
The perception is so different because even though you're putting it in a piece of paper and you're sending it out with a stamp, when somebody gets it, I guarantee you their heart is going to warm because you've made an extra effort to take the time instead of just banging away on your computer saying, hey, how's it going? I was thinking about you. Thanks for being influential. I really want you all to take some time to really think about this person and put an effort into sending that to this person that means something to you and make it heartfelt. Even if you haven't talked to them for 10 years, 5 years, 5 minutes, make the effort.
That's awesome. I'm excited to do that as well. And I also, you know, just even working with these little kids, it just gave me a reminder that I need to really communicate with people with the intent to listen a little bit more. And I definitely am genuine and I do care. But being able to listen to someone and then hear what they have to say and also vulnerable enough to open up, to share the things that I'm going through so that people understand where I'm coming from better, but also because we all need more people in our life.
Do you remember on the last one we talked about me calling?
So powerful.
Calling you.
So powerful.
What if I would have never called you? I would have never known your situation.
And it created a connection between us that
probably
would last a lifetime.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I know we're out of time. We certainly want to thank you for joining us for this month's podcast. We'll be coming at you next month. There will be more information. Hopefully we won't have the technical difficulty. So thank you for your patience. Thank you, Nico. Happy Mother's Day to every influential woman out there. One way or another, thank you for being impactful in all our lives. God bless and thank you, everybody.
Thank you.